He never moved his lips. All these strange antics were accompanied by still stranger guttural noises from the devotee, who seemed to be praying in a sing-song or else singing some pagan psalmody or other, during which his face twitched about in the most unnatural manner. At last, extinguishing the fire, he took his idol up very unceremoniously and bagged it again in his grego pocket as carelessly as if he were a sportsman bagging a dead woodcock. All these queer proceedings increased my uncomfortableness, and seeing him now exhibiting strong symptoms of concluding his business operations and jumping into bed with me, I thought it was high time, now or never, before the light was put out, to break the spell in which I had so long been bound. But the interval I spent in deliberating what to say was a fatal one. Taking his tomahawk from the table, he examined the head of it for an instant, and then, holding it to the light, with his mouth at the handle, he puffed out great clouds of tobacco smoke. The next moment the light was extinguished, and this wild cannibal, tomahawk between his teeth, sprang into bed with me. I sang out, I could not help it now, and, giving a sudden grunt of astonishment, he began feeling me. Stammering out something, I knew not what, I rolled away from him against the wall, and then conjured him, whoever or whatever he might be, to keep quiet, and let me get up and light the lamp again. But his guttural responses satisfied me at once that he but ill comprehended my meaning.
"Who e debil you?" he said at last. "You no speak ye, damn me, I kill ye."
And so saying, the lighted tomahawk began flourishing about me in the dark. "Landlord, for God's sake, Peter Coffin!" shouted I. "Landlord, watch! Coffin! Angel, save me!"
"Speak ye, tell ye me who ye be, or damn me, I kill ye!" again growled the cannibal,
while his horrid flourishings of the tomahawk scattered the hot tobacco ashes about me till I thought my linen would get on fire. But, thank heaven, at that moment the landlord came into the room, light in hand, and leaping from the bed I ran up to him.
"Don't be afraid now," said he, grinning again. "Queequeg here wouldn't harm a hair of your head."
"Stop your grinning!" shouted I. "And why didn't you tell me that that infernal harpooner was a cannibal?"
"I thought you'd know it. Didn't I tell you he was a peddlin' heads around town? But turn flukes again and go to sleep. Queequeg, look here. You sabby me, I sabby you. This man sleepy you. You sabby?"
"Me sabby plenty,"
grunted Queequeg, puffing away at his pipe and sitting up in bed.
"You getty in," he added,
motioning to me with his tomahawk, and throwing the clothes to one side. He really did this in not only a civil, but really a kind and charitable way. I stood looking at him a moment. For all his tattooings, he was on the whole a clean, comely-looking cannibal. "What's all this fuss I have been making about?" thought I to myself. "The man's a human being, just as I am. He has as much reason to fear me as I have to be afraid of him. Better sleep with a sober cannibal than a drunken Christian." "Landlord," said I, "tell him to stash his tomahawk there, or pipe, or whatever you call it. Tell him to stop smoking, in short, and I will turn in with him. But I don't fancy having a man smoking in bed with me. It's dangerous. Besides, I ain't insured." This being told to Queequeg, he at once complied, and again politely motioned me to get into bed, rolling over to one side as much to say, "I won't touch a leg of you." "Good night, landlord," said I. "You may go." I turned in, and never slept better in my life. End of chapter 3.